Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, President Trump, yesterday, breaking news came over the crawl, was preparing an executive order and birthright citizenship in the U.S. The question, is it possible, legal? Is it a campaign stunt as we head toward the election?
It is a campaign stunt, obviously. You can't change the United States Constitution by executive order. You got to amend the Constitution. And let me tell you, for all those people who've been thinking about amending the Constitution to change the Electoral College, they all know, everybody knows, that while this may be a commendable thing, you just don't sign a piece of paper if you're president and say, I abolish the 14th Amendment, which reads, by the way, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state where they reside. So in other words, this is really a bunch of nonsense. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, he's right. That shouldn't be. I say we shouldn't have an electoral college. But it doesn't mean you can change the Constitution by simply signing an executive order. And he knows it, of course. Such constitutional scholars as former solicitor generals in the Obama administration, and even Kellyanne Conway's husband wrote an op-ed piece. He's a conservative lawyer suggesting that this is utter nonsense. Well, they trotted out Kellyanne Conway herself, probably in reaction to the husband's op-ed piece, suggesting that the president was a good guy. Nothing new here. It is the kind of desperation that he sees. As you see, he's going around to all these southern states working like crazy to try to get some Republicans elected in what looks like a Democratic win in many states, including Arizona in the senatorial race. So it does appear that he's in panic and that he's doing what he thinks he needs to do.
Meanwhile, the Vice President, Mike Pence, rejected any link between the president's rhetoric and recent hate crimes and political violence, saying, quote, it's important that we don't connect those acts to the public debate.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, the fact of the matter is that this guy's the divider-in-chief, that he's proud of it. He's talked about it. He's bragged about it. He said that this is the way that he operates. And, of course, for Pence, who sees himself as next up in any case, look, if the president is impeached, Pence is the president. So he doesn't want to make a misstep here and in any way alienate this president, because if you do, he'll turn on you like a rabid dog. And we all know that. So Pence is doing what he's supposed to do. And is there any surprise here? Certainly not.
The ripple effect of these recent tragedies in New York and the political scene. The governor's race, Marcus Molinaro, the Republican, Allen, calling basically for a civility pledge and ending negative ads up until the election. Nonetheless, the governor is way ahead in the race in the polls.
Yeah, that's right. The governor's going to win. The governor is really doing extraordinarily well in the polls. It's a, as I've said over and over again, it was a failed candidacy from the very beginning. Look, I like Molinaro. He's a good guy. Nevertheless, you got a president who is extraordinarily unpopular in New York State. I don't know about other states, but there sure will be a blue wave in New York, and we'll see what happens. But Molinaro did a bad thing. In order to win, in order to have come even close, he would have had to go after Trump and say, I'm a different kind of Republican in New York State. And he didn't want to do that. His own people, Ed Cox and everybody else, have been doing what they had to do to support the president, and he wasn't going to step out of line. And it was the only way he could have won. Look, in Charlie Baker in Massachusetts has put some distance between himself and the president. Sure, he supports Republicans, you know, in statewide races, but we call him a Republican, and he is. And he's done extremely well. His approval ratings are in the 70s, and that's a very different thing than what Molinaro is doing in New York.
And certainly different than the highly watched 19th congressional district race, where I see a Monmouth University poll finds the Democrat Antonio Delgado holding a 49-44% edge over John Faso, the Republican incumbent, among likely voters. That Monmouth says that's their standard midterm turnout model, Alan. Another 3% they say support a third party or independent candidate, and 4% undecided. The race stands at 51% for Delgado and 43% for Faso, using a model that incorporates a turnout surge in Democratic precincts.
Well, let me just say I'm not at all convinced. You know, we've seen some remarkable polling upsets, including in Queens, where longtime incumbent Joe Crowley lost by a lot after the polls were predicting that he would win by a lot. And we have seen it again and again. Polls are just polls. If anybody thinks that, okay, I don't have to vote now because the polls tell me who's going to win, they're just wrong.
In the end, turnout, huh?
In the end, David, there is always a turnout issue. Right now, an awful lot of people on both sides have been really activated. In New York, in the 19th district, we're Faso, an incumbent, and incumbents always have a little bit of an edge. There is a huge question as to whether people will come out who have not come out before. I suspect they will. I think you're going to see an awful lot of people turning out in this election who never thought about voting in the past.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Alan, thank you.
Okay, David, thank you.